Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's John Mellencamp bringing us back a little Heartland rock and roll. 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend John Harrison. John F. Harrison, Certified Financial Planner, the Reverend John Harrison, author of Making Mammoth Serve You, and his new novel, folks, I encourage you to find it. I think you'll find it intriguing, Fighting Back by John F. Harrison. John, thanks again for joining us. Of course, you're here all year long, but in February, when you're here, I'd like to get your perspective on Black America Month, Black History Month, I should say. And I appreciate you doing this. I appreciate you feeling, you know, comfortable and safe doing it with me. You know my heart, and I know yours. And I'd like to know. After 8 years of the America's first Black president, elected and reelected, if you had to give race relations in America an evaluation for now compared to where they were when he went into office, what would you say? What kind of a grade would you give it?
That's a tough one because depending on what aspect of things I looked at, I could see where I could see a B+, and I could see where I could see a D.
Okay.
The reason
that's an intellectually honest approach. So give us those grades. Where do they apply?
In terms of where the country has progressed to, I would say the fact of his election makes the B+ comment. The fact that he's elected and re-elected.
But does that say more about us or him?
More about the country, the progress the country has made, because he frankly could not have gotten elected without a significant amount of support from across the spectrum. Black people make up about 12% of the population of this country, so it wasn't simply that he was elected on the strength of the black vote. He was elected across the board and elected twice.
A lot of white people had to vote for him.
However, I think if you're from the liberal side of the political spectrum, the tendency to view people as groups rather than as individuals is so ingrained that when Mr. Trump was elected president, it was taken by most on the left as a repudiation of his predecessor's race, which I think is not accurate or reasonable to assume.
I agree.
They voted for an individual, not a category. And that seems so ingrained in our culture. I'm not sure how we get rid of that. And in that sense, things are worse now than they were before the election because we reflexively take sides on issues based on identity groups, whether you're talking about complex things like policing or other issues where racial politics can come up. Mm-hmm. I think we're far more polarized now than we were 8 years ago.
And in the process of all that policing debate that we had, mm-hmm. instead of what saddened to me, John, is instead of identifying the places and the practices that need improving and fixing them, we basically threw the baby out with the bathwater and made all police officers the bad guys.
And I
have to say, John, I laid that at the feet of Barack Obama and Eric Holder.
And I think there's more too, because I think that there are interest groups. Some of these, you know, if you follow some of the George Soros money,
right.
Some of these protests are heavily organized and heavily funded by people who live nowhere near the incidents they're protesting.
Right.
And that aspect
they were
often
paid
doesn't come
and brought
out
in
news coverage. Right.
They were paid and bussed in. When Barack Obama was first elected, I didn't vote for him, but not because he was a black man, but because I didn't like his. I didn't think he was qualified.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly didn't think that he had enough. He proved me right. I mean, he never disappointed me. He was not qualified to be president. He didn't have any problem solving skills, and that's what I was worried about more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But not because he was a black man. But when he got elected, I told my wife, I said, you know what? Whatever else he does,
mm-hmm.
he has an opportunity to turn race relations in America, to have it go forward a quantum leap.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if he does that, whatever else he does, that will be worth it.
Right.
And I told her that within the first 30 days of his being elected. But mm-hmm. you know what, John? He let us down on that, I think.
I think it was probably harder. I think he might, at some level, have wanted that when he first was elected. But I think that the progressive left has an agenda that they won't let him, wouldn't let him bury.
You think they pulled him more to that way? You think he wasn't so ideologically that way as much as he had to play to his base?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I said, and maybe this was too harsh of me, but I've said this, John. I think you've heard me say this before. What I said was, America demonstrated that we were post-racial when we elected the first black president and then reelected him, but we didn't elect a post-racial president.
I think that's a pretty accurate sum up. No, I think that's a pretty accurate way of summing it up. And, you know, hopefully moving forward, there'll be other such opportunities that will have different outcomes than that
one did. Wouldn't it be ironic, and a lot of people can't even imagine how this could be possible, mm-hmm. wouldn't it be ironic if President Trump did more to heal race relations in America than Obama did? That'd be awfully ironic, wouldn't it?
It would be ironic, and I think if whatever he does on that front, you'll have a hard time hearing about it on the mainstream media.
Well, you know what though? I saw an interview with a black preacher from Detroit who was mm-hmm. contacted by a Chicago gang leader and said, "Would you connect this to the president? We'd like to stop the body count."
Wow, that's encouraging.
How about that?
I think that's encouraging.
It can happen, folks. We just need the fullness of time, and maybe all of us just back off a little bit. Quick break. Tintail. I'm Jim Blassing. I'm right back with our very good friend, John Harrison.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.